Thought Press Network.
C-R-I-T.
Die!
Welcome everybody to another episode of Grit or Die.
Bears love gaming.
Woo! Hello everybody. Hello Pedro.
Hi Kenny.
Oh hello, yes.
Oh my god, it's been so long since the two of us have come together to talk about some of the games that we love to play.
Of course.
Or hate to play depending on the situation.
Oh yes, of course. And I'm so glad that we took our break just so that we can be all excited for this new episode of Crit or Die. And in fact, we have Goldilocks on with us.
Yes, I'm here.
Hello,
I'm here.
Q.
It's so weird to call you Goldilocks because your hair is darker than all of our hair put together.
I'm sorry. It's Q-E-Locks.
Q-Locks is here. Played all the games, which was good to have a break because now we got to play all the games except one, which we will eventually get to.
One of those games we'll eventually get to.
Yeah, one of them will happen.
Legends of the Hidden Temple. But anyway, so
spoilers! Spoilers.
But for right now, we're actually going to talk about a game. We're actually going to jump into a couple, but really, the first one we're going to talk about is a game that we got during the Christmas break, and it is a deduction game.
There you go.
That's the word. That's the word I'm looking for. And the game is actually called Suspicion. It's actually.
Mysterious.
The title itself is.
I think the name itself says everything that you need to know.
Says everything you need to know and nothing at the same time.
Yeah.
Really, really well done game. We're gonna get into it right now. All three of us have actually played it, and we played it with a group of three, and also with it's a group of three. We've done it with a few people.
Yeah, we played it with Bear and a big fan of TTG, Damien, which was also the person who purchased the game for Kenny.
And we're talking about Damien, not
Skullkeeper.
Not Skullkeeper of the Forge, Protector of the Rock. No, we're not talking
about
that
guy. Wearer of the pelt,
don't forget the pelt. Right? We're not talking about him. We're actually talking about my friend Damien, who actually got me the game. Kudos to Damien.
So the game is 2 to 6 players. Now, what you're trying to do is you have a little board that you have set up here. You're handed a card at the beginning of the game that'll tell you which character that you're supposed to be, and you got to keep it a secret.
Yeah.
Secret. Nobody can know who you are.
And the whole point is each of you, there is a band of thieves, and you have to hide which thief you are and try to figure out who the other thieves are. And you move them around from room to room with a set of dice, and you're trying to now deduct who is who, and also try to make sure that you take suspicion off yourself.
So they don't know who you are.
So that you don't know who you are by playing it smart, by moving characters in different positions so that you can pick up jewels that you end up having to pick up, which is kind of your leads. That's
what will tell your position to other people and vice versa. So what you do is like you get so you pick up cards and you get you play one card a turn. You have a hand
you
of
have two
or three.
You have two cards and you play one a turn.
And depending on what the card will either let you move out of the room, let you pull specific jewels, pull jewels out of the room, or do things where you can actually look at the remaining thieves to be able to start deducting who is there.
Right.
Which let me tell you, that is by far the best card that you can get. Very early on, because then you start being able to chop out, your options.
Yeah, and then the other option is that you get to ask another player if you'll get a picture of a character on the card, and you get to ask any other player if their person can see that character. And then they answer you secretly. So this is how it gives other players an upper hand than everybody else who's playing.
Yeah.
And it gives you clues that not everybody else is getting on top of the being able to sneak into the role of that.
Yeah.
While you're doing all that, you're also collecting jewels from each room that you're in, that your character's actually in. And the other aspect of it that gives you not only the cards for randomness is also the dice that you roll. And every start of the turn, when you roll the dice, it moves two people. Not necessarily your character, but it moves other
two
characters.
Two characters based off the roll.
Yeah.
And the game ends when you run out of jewels, because there's three stacks of three jewels.
One
of the stacks.
Yep, one stack.
And then at that point, then you got to guess who is who, and you get extra points for deducting who is who, and if you can stay a secret yourself.
Yes.
So then,
and also the number of jewels you actually.
Well,
took.
Yeah, obviously.
And if you get the set, because there's a green one, a red one, and a yellow one.
Yeah. So this is all score based, and depending on it's a good combination. It's actually what I do like about it, because it's like if you suck at figuring out other people, if you're good enough with the jewels, you're able to kind of balance that out.
Right. 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 I mean, this game could go on depending on how many people you play. I've noticed that with three people, it is. We haven't played with more than three yet. But with three people, it is it gets easier to figure out at least one person, at least on my eyes. The second one, though, it's always one of those things where it's a 50-50 shot at the end of the game, who the fuck it is.
Well, I would say if you have more people, I figured based off of if you're able to get at least one of those cards to look at the stack, I think that helps. That helps start narrowing down. And I think what's interesting about how it sets up the board to be able to pick specific jewels is that it really rewards people that are really good at keeping track of that kind of shit, of keeping track of movement, who's looking at who and who's looking at what. And like, I think that's cool. I like when games are able to kind of balance both, you know, clever play and people and being able to pay attention to what's going on.
Which is why I love this game. We've played this game twice. I've won twice. Yeah. Because I've managed to both...
You didn't guess me.
No, I didn't guess you. But I've managed to always not have the person guess who I was.
Yeah.
And always get the set of jewels.
Yes. So well, the set of jewels helps a lot.
The set of jewels has always helped a lot. And not letting you figure out who I am.
Yes.
I have been very good at that. I didn't get you. I had you between two characters. I picked the wrong one because I literally had to guess it at that point. That's
fun at the end, too. You're just like, this one.
I had narrowed you down to two, and you were the other one. So I knew that I was down to those two, but I hadn't had an opportunity to move your character to know what jewel you were going to pick up to eliminate. And we ran out of jewels before I was able to do that.
And it just so happens that my character never moved from its spot.
You stayed? You stayed in the same spot the whole time?
I stayed in the same spot. God, my character, both games that I've ever played, both of them, I stayed in the same spot. After a while, I'm getting the same fucking jewel. Everybody's like, all right. All right.
Well,
all right. You're right there.
Well, it
you're
sucks especially if you're in a jewel that only has one color. Because if you have multiple colors, you then start playing like,
yeah,
I'm gonna
it gets
get
easier
red,
to be
I'm
able to
get
be like,
orange. Yeah, I'm gonna trick you out. And then the first one. This, by the way, this game was invented by Forrest Pruzan Creative, and it's Wonderforge. So you can get this at wonderforge.com or a game store if you find it.
And I think that it's for, like we said, it's 2 to 6 players. So I think this is like a good one where you guys have a couple drinks. Like I like to put this under the rowdy category, because anytime that you can combine substances that alter your perception with having to figure shit out, I think you're doing pretty fucking great for a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I really thoroughly enjoyed this particular game. It was the one I wanted you to play right away when you came over. I was like, can we play Suspicion? Because like, I feel like this is a game within my realm, and I feel like it's a game that...
I think it's within all our realms.
And it's not too hard and complicated to explain how to play.
It's fast.
And the game length, you don't get bored. Like, it's just the right amount of time where you're into it, you enjoy it, and then it's over, and then
it's less than 10 minutes long each
no,
round. With
no,
the three of us,
I believe it was
like
about 10, 20. It was about 20.
It didn't feel like 20.
It didn't feel like it, but it was
it
about
was 20.
20
minutes. Wow,
20
okay.
Minutes.
Well, then that's a good compliment to it that it didn't feel like.
Yeah. So I really, really, really enjoyed this game. It's probably my favorite game in the house at this moment.
No, I can see why. I definitely see this
and
getting popped out
more
often.
Sherlock doesn't makes me feel stupid.
Well, and also Sherlock, this is the thing is, we've talked about this before. Sherlock requires such a level of focus that it's not good for days where you just want to fuck off.
Yeah. And in fact, we haven't brought up, we haven't done Sherlock on this episode, on this show.
We haven't reviewed Sherlock yet?
And the reason why we haven't is because...
We haven't beat the game.
We haven't been able to,
We want to at least beat Sherlock one time before we
talk about
this. And at that point...
Let's actually solve a mystery. Let's worry about less about following Sherlock.
Oh, no, we've solved the mysteries before.
Yeah, we
saw parts of the mysteries.
Yeah, we did. We missed one thing. Because it's just... It's
hard. It's hard to keep track of it.
It is hard to... There's too many things going on. Again, Sherlock we will eventually get to, but this is a fun game, and I feel like it's a game that we can get the girls to play that would not require them to... Because there's no math.
We get no there is math at the end, just not in the beginning.
Yeah, I see.
Just not at the beginning.
I see a lot of salt being thrown around when they can't figure out what's going
on.
Which
is great, but that's what makes the game great.
No,
that's
lot,
getting,
yeah.
You start getting pissed
off. The possibility of making people salty is always a good way to
It's always
know,
a
get
good plus
game.
On a game.
Yeah. All right, Pedro, if you had to give this a number between 1 and 10.
Jeez. I always feel that I'm so positive in these fucking reviews. I'd probably give it like an 8.
Okay.
I didn't give it any higher. mostly because I'm not as good at deduction as other people are. And then also might just be like, you know, starting the game for the first time. Maybe after you play it a couple times, you start being able to pick up more on how people are calling stuff. But this is it's very enjoyable, very quick to learn, you know. And those two are a really good combination to get people who don't normally like board games mm-hmm. to get them to play them with you.
It's one of those great. It's one of those
good starter gateway
games. Is yeah, pretty much what
good starter game.
Q.
I'm gonna give it a 9 for me. I do like deduction kind of games.
You are good at deduction.
I am good at deduction, so it's like totally up my realm.
Yeah.
I think for me, what always makes me score games really low is setup time.
Oh yeah.
And the complication of a board and where everything is and stuff like that. And this is super simple. You literally put the pieces in whatever room you want at the beginning of the game, and you're just passing out cards.
And then it's just like stacking cards.
It's yeah. just stacking cards. It's super simple. And whatever you're counting, which are gems, I think at most of us had 5 gems. You're really not even counting that much
yeah.
because of how fast the game goes.
Our game went particularly quick.
Right, and it's because the minute you run out of one column. So there's no way for you to collect too many because the other columns are never going to be used up all the way.
Yeah.
So for that aspect, it's black and white. It's simple. The only color is the gems. It's all it needed. It didn't need to.
Well, the characters also have different colors on them.
Yeah, on the actual die piece.
They're color coded.
They're color coded. But I think it was perfect, and I think it's a really good intro game. It's something that you can pull out and just kill 20 minutes in a group and play the game and have it be fun. It's competitive, and I like competitive games. I like games where you're hiding your paper and you don't want other people to know your clues. And
you're like, secrets.
That reminded me a lot of Clue at that point.
the only suggestion that I would say is that they should write something on the yes and no cards, because I forget that I have them when I have to answer somebody.
Oh, no, that's the best
part.
And I
immediately want to shout out the answer.
That's the best part.
And then it gives
that's
everybody
the, part where
the clue.
Where you get somebody drunk, and then they're like,
yeah,
yes!
That's why it's the best.
Yes.
And you're like, God damn it.
Yes, they're in that room.
So that would be the only thing that would be like, okay, there needs to be something to differentiate this so it's a little bit easier for me.
Yeah.
And maybe including boards like the Carmen Sandiego game did, where it gave us something to cover
yeah.
with. So
I
that
think we used the box. We used like a fucking another piece of paper.
Yeah, I did. I used like, I think, a Christmas gift or the box of the other game.
The book.
Yeah, we were hiding stuff. So yeah. I would say a 9, though.
All right, by Kenny?
Well, no, I will go ahead and say 8. This is a solid game. This is, if when it comes to playability, it gives you a lot of playability because it gives enough randomness with the cards and with the dice that you're never going to have the same game twice. It's enough care. It's especially when you play with different people, it changes the leveling of the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to give it anything higher than an 8 only because, I suck at the game. And two, it's because, deduction. I like deduction games. It is the better one out of the most that we've played. I mean, I will say 8, only because I'll play it. They have no problem with it, but will I play it every time? Well, I'm, you know, not every time. But it's still a great game, especially for people who've never played. You pick up that game, you makes you want to learn. It makes you want to go into other games. It makes you want to play. That game for sure reminded me a lot of my childhood with Clue. So I would love to push that forward and try to look for other games like that.
I'm going
to
give this now game a 9.5 because it's the only time I can beat Kenny at anything.
At anything?
At any board game, because you guys are really good at board games, and it takes me a few turns to fucking learn how to play the goddamn game. You know what I mean? And Kenny remembers fucking card names, and he doesn't even have to look at them, just the shape of the card, and he's like, I can already whoop your ass in 15 different ways from like with a blindfold on.
That's
and
a lie, but
game,
I love you.
That's a lie, but true, I love you. But it's true. Every game we've played, Kenny usually whoops ass, and this one I was just like, I've won! And I've won because I'm good at this game.
I won with skill.
Like, not because you were like, hey, let me, I'm not going to. No, Kenny tried, and I won. Like, and so that now it's a 9.5.
Well, with that, let's talk about, we're going to talk about another game. Q actually brought it up.
Oh, yeah.
And I just want to bring it up because there's two different spectrums, right? Okay. This is a good deduction game.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Ooh, Carmen Sandiego not?
Carmen Sandiego board game, unfortunately, is on the other side, on my opinion, and I could be wrong. You could fight me on this. It's on the other side of the fucking spectrum when it comes to these deduction games. Carmen Sandiego is pretty much a game where you have to solve crimes. You have to match, just like in just like in the computer game that you played on MS-DOS, mm-hmm. just like on the TV show, you have to match items from the country they're in, and you have to find...
How'd this girl steal the Eiffel Tower again?
Right, and stuff like that.
So you have to find Carmen Sandiego at before... Like, you have to put Carmen Sandiego with the matching item and location. In
so it's like Clue, but around the world.
Now, but it's so much more complicated because their setup is complicated.
Yeah, and the reason why the setup is complicated is because no one can look at any cards unless you're specifically told to look at them.
Okay.
Now, everybody comes with... What I like is the way it's set up. First off, I am so sorry. I don't know what company made that game, but the fact that it has that every time you open the fucking... instruction manual. It plays where in the world.
That's fucking
yes, yes,
no,
yes.
It's great.
Yes,
it's great. The first 15 times. On the 16th time, you have to be like, okay,
no, keep playing it again.
Oh my god!
Right, and the whole way the setup the way the setup is that you have an item, you have a location, you have a henchman. Right, you have the henchman. Each player, depending on how many people play, we played with three people at the time. You put two rows of each card face down. Okay? Everybody has two rows of each card face down, and then we put one row of those cards in the middle. You can't look at these cards. Everybody's turn, they roll a die. Depending on what you roll on, is you pick that. Like, for instance, if it rolls red, you look at the henchman.
Right. And you can't look at anybody else's until you've seen the two of your own.
Now, it gives you a little...
So you can't even look at your own card.
No, you can. If I roll the red and I look at my henchmen, I can only look at my henchmen. Once I've seen both my henchmen that are on my board and I roll it again, now I can look at Kenny's
henchmen. People's stuff.
Oh, so you have, you have to see your shit
so
first.
So this is a game of memory plus cards.
Oh, God.
Like, plus deduction.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. Now, you can't solve... The only way... The way you win this game, it doesn't matter how many... Because the whole thing is that when you look at locations enough and you find the location, like... It gives you a little magic marker. It gives you your portfolio. Inside the portfolio, it gives you all the names, the locations and stuff. And you can write down on this
dry erase board.
Okay. It's like a dry erase thing. So you can mark down where the cards are located. Because this is very important. You're going to forget.
Okay, so you have you actually have something that you can write the shit down.
So I could say Kenny's, like if I find Cairo and I see it in Kenny, I could be like, okay, Kenny's bottom row location. And I'll write that next to Cairo.
And
so
you have that on the board.
I have
that
on the board.
Yes.
Right.
Okay, cool.
No. But throughout the game, you have to, once you find things that match, you can say, I'm calling for a warrant.
A warrant.
Right? And that means you're going to say, okay, I know that Cairo is here and that the Sphinx is Kenny's over there. And if you get it correct, you get him out. You take him out.
You take him out, but you also have to take a random henchman that's in the game out.
Right.
Oh, God.
This is where the game gets interesting. You only win the game if Carmen Sandiego is the last henchman and it's left
in the center.
So that means, like, you can pull, like, the random one you can pull is Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
You can get to the end of the game and nobody wins.
And nobody wins.
That's funny. Yeah. That's actually good.
And then when you remove those two and you take out the random henchman, now you replace them. So
with
now
cards.
You have yet another card that you don't know what it is now. And... You can also then switch out a card from the center row because you have to end up with the center row being the matching location, the matching item, and Carmen Sandiego in the
right.
center.
Jesus.
So if you want somebody else to not, if you want to win, right? This
you
is what Kenny did.
You pull Carmen Sandiego?
No, I knew that he had Carmen Sandiego, and I had already like figured out all of the cards, and I had already gotten the item and the location to be in the same place.
I believe
it
was Paris and the Eiffel Tower, for instance.
Right. Yeah. And I had already set it up so it's in the middle. I already knew where Carmen Sandiego was, so I knew that I could do my warrant, take out the cards, pick out the cards, move the henchmen, and be done. Be done with this and win.
Right.
And Kenny fucking
But I also
goes.
Knew that it was there. I also knew what she was doing.
Yeah.
So I decided to move cards around.
Yeah. He switched out the location so that it would get back to him and he would be able to win. But it failed him. And
because the thing is that, again, it's the randomness of the dice roll. You can only do certain, certain things. So,
and if you write down the wrong notes, you're fucked.
Oh, no. And it's horrible because you forget. You can forget very quickly.
Yeah, oh, I know.
And it's in the game where it shows you, like, if you choose wrong.
This is what happens.
This is what happens. At first, everybody gets to see the card.
Yeah.
So everybody gets to see what
where
card
is
actually there. So people write it down. Two, then you have to switch that card.
Yeah.
so that you don't even, so you have to switch it with what's in the middle and put it back and, Yeah, it's
a lot of shit.
It's a lot of shit.
It's a lot of rules for this.
It's a lot of it's complicated for an easy
what's supposed to be an easy game.
What it is an easy concept. It's just I don't know. I feel like it's I feel like there's a lot of pieces where if the moment you forget one thing, you pretty much can just erase
give up the game.
Just erase the whole thing and start over again because at that point anything could have been moved. And you have to have a lot of retention. At least with suspicion, I write the shit down and I know that that will never change. So I will know.
Again, I was really good at Carmen Sandiego because it's a deduction game where you have to pay a lot of attention. And again, I won that game. And it was even better to know that Kenny had tried to fuck me over.
he failed at his fuckery.
And I still won the game all because of his memory.
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
So like the games that we played are not for people with real ADHD. And Kenny has severe ADD. And so I could see him remembering where things was, and I was like, oh, he missed that time Damien switched that card out. He's going to say this wrong, and I'm going to watch him say this wrong. And so that's where it becomes tricky. You have to watch for everybody. So if you took a turn away for a second to write your note and somebody switched the card, you're as good as gone. And then the minute your card gets replaced, you now can't look at anybody else's again. You have to re-know your deck. So I do agree with Kenny. There's a lot of steps to accomplish a simple concept. That's the problem. It's a simple concept that has too many maneuvers to achieve that ending. But it's good nostalgic. You're playing fucking Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, and also the card, the names of the henchmen.
Oh, racist
as fuck.
Really?
Hold on a second. I'm going to go get the
deck. I'll get it for you.
Guys, again, it is a game that came out when these kind of things weren't thought of.
When they were except. How old is this game?
When did you play Carmen Sandiego?
The I played it on the computer. I played it a long time ago.
Right,
yeah.
On a Macintosh.
Oh,
before
my God.
It was Apple.
This is based off of the original?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Please give me some of these to read.
Yeah, here. We did not. Okay, and we suck.
Okay, I see. You guys can't notice this, but I'm actually looking at the
God, I'm an idiot. Let me look at the
at the little boards here that you write down on.
Okay, yeah. Like, for instance, we got one that is a chick that it's a chick that has a cat in her hands, right? Mm-hmm. With long ass red nails, curly black hair, and she's called Li Non Mi. It's an Asian called Lean On Mi.
We have an Australian named Irma Dillo. That's pretty good.
I have a Hispanic maid.
Oh.
Who's called Rosa San Rosa San Ros.
It is horrible.
Okay, that's pretty bad.
Okay, we got a dude, a white dude, blonde hair, called Sam O'Nella. Sam O'Nella.
Oh, my God, that does look like a Rosa San Rosa San Ros.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. This is really bad. We got somebody who looks like he's from the Jim Crow days called Fast Eddie B.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm not even sure what this is, but it's a black guy with this weird smirk on his face, and his name is You'll Be Sorry.
That looks like that looks like Sammy Davis Jr.
That is horrible.
That's Sammy Davis Jr.
You'll Be Sorry.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is only what I can imagine as a Swedish guy, right? I'm going to go with Swedish, and his name is Bjorn Toulouse.
Fuck you. Oh, my God. Give me these cards. Let me see if there's any other good ones.
These fuck-ass cards.
This is getting close to fuck-ass territory. There's a punk girl named Sarah Nade. Lady Agatha Wayland. There's a fucking bird on top of her.
I have to do this now. I'm going to open up the instruction manual.
Carmen Sandiego.
That's downpitched. That's not the original. I remember that one. Bessie May Mucho.
Bessie May Mucho.
Yes, yes.
And she's a prisoner.
Yes, there you go.
Of course. But yes, Bjorn Toulouse.
And then, of course, Carmen Sandiego.
Bjorn Toulouse. Robin Banks. God, yeah, these are all as,
no, but my
favorite. All as bad as
wait,
the
wait,
original.
Which one's Robin Banks?
No, my favorite is the Santa whatever.
That's pretty fucking great, yeah.
Santa Rosa.
Was it Rosa Santa Rosa
Arroz? Oh, my God. Dazzle Annie Knocker.
This is bad.
Okay, so yeah, so I can definitely tell the names fucking ridiculously punny, but what do you guys rate this game?
Well, I'll go first, and I'm just gonna say for me I would give this maybe a six. I'll go ahead and be generous and say six, only because I will probably play this one more time. And then I will say, fuck this game. That's pretty much what will happen.
This fuck-ass game.
I'm going to... Well, automatically, because I won and beat Kenny in his douchebaggery, that's like three points right there. That's like writing, getting your name right on the SATs.
So it moved up to like a 7 or an 8?
Yes, basically. This is, for me, like a 7. It was...
Yeah, because you won't go to 8 with this.
No, I won't go to 8.
You don't go to 8 with this game.
I don't go to 8 with this game. I will go to 7 because, again, I beat Kenny and it's a deduction game. It is just a very complicated way of doing the game. And I can see it not being... entertaining after a while, because for a while it was frustrating.
Sounds fucking frustrating as hell.
It's very frustrating until, here's the thing, it's the kind of game that you get a hand of the rules when you're already almost at the end.
Oh god,
like, you know what I mean, like you're 2 rounds away from winning and you're like, oh, finally kind of got the movement and it's fast and all of this. But yeah, so 7 because I beat Kenny. I beat Kenny the same day, both games. It was like a really good day for me.
I know.
Me.
Yeah. One of those things.
You're on top of the fucking world.
I was.
There's one that we haven't played yet that I have gotten.
Yes,
which
I know.
I did
so
bring up in the beginning. And the only reason why we haven't played it, like, I kind of want to play it and don't.
You don't want to ruin it for yourself?
I don't want to ruin it for myself because, you know, I already had trouble when I was in that, when I was actually on the show, because I was a fat little kid on that damn moat.
God damn it.
And my fucking partner did not like water.
What was the prize that you got?
Oh no, the fucking constellation
gift.
Yeah,
what was the constellation
gift? The constellation gift was a fucking the troll doll. It was a fucking...
You got a troll doll. I would keep that fucking forever. Just in, like, this is the weirdest thing I've ever gotten. Somebody gave me a fucking troll doll for
like,
a fucking...
It was a troll doll set. It was like, it was the green... during that time, they had the treasure troll.
No,
yeah, that was a big thing back
oh
then.
Oh, my God.
I remember those things.
I wanted to kick this kid in the head because he just... Whatever, bro.
We haven't played Legends of the Hidden Table because you need 4 people. And there's only 2 people in this house willing to play that game.
So you get me in there.
You need
Damien.
4 people because... Here's the problem about this game, and I already saw it. You need 4 people... And then immediately one person loses. I'm just letting you know that right now.
Why so quickly?
Because that's how, if you've ever watched Legends of the Hidden Temple, that's what happens.
Oh, my God. Oh,
only a certain amount
that's
of people.
That's right. At the beginning. So you're telling you start off the game and then they fucking, and then you're immediately kicked out?
You're immediately kicked out and you become the host of the game is what happens.
What the fuck?
Yes.
Oh, fuck this fuck-ass game.
So, we will watch. We will eventually.
We will eventually do that. No. I'm holding on to something. All right. So I guess that's going to be it. Now that we've done our reviews, Q. Thank you for jumping on this episode to talk with us.
Thank you guys for having me.
Absolutely.
Can you tell us where we can find you?
Yeah, you guys can follow me on Instagram at QFindor, QFindor, like Gryffindor, but me. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm in transition, but for right now, you can follow me at QTheMike on Twitter. I'm a lot more active recently there. If you want to see my married life jokes, go to me. Go on Twitter. If you want to see my geek and workout and me die of hunger while on a diet, then you go to my Instagram.
Well, if you want to watch me suffer. And if you want to see me, you can find me over at Pedro Cortez Get on Twitter. That's Cortez with an S. And you can see me on Instagram at Gurren Lagann, like the giant robot Animu.
Well, guys, if you want to follow me on Twitter or Instagram, I finally took the jump, and I'm actually now Mr. _.
You changed this while we were recording?
Yes!
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 So that's Mr. with an _ and then _.
Yes, that's perfect. That is the best name, Kenny.
Wait, it's Mr. _?
Yeah.
Mr. _.
Mr. _.
Oh,
so you can
God.
Find me there. I post stuff on occasion. I usually do a lot of retweets, so you can follow me there. And hopefully it went through.
that's why I'm looking at it
right now. But yes, and again, thank you guys so much for listening to us. This is another episode of Crit or Die, Bears Love Gaming. Pedro, as always, I enjoy our
and
our
I
talks.
always enjoy our talks. Yes, I really enjoy this last part where... We end up speaking very quietly to each other.
We just bring it all in.
We like to practice our ASMR.
Yeah,
and speak.
This is my audition for NPR going for next year.
And underwater basket weaving.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in. And Pedro's gonna go ahead and kick us off here.
And we'll talk to you next time.
You suck so much, Pedro!
Wait, what? Fuck this thing.
Thank you guys so much. Peace.